This is John Reese of BluePower.com, sitting here talking to Mr. Sean Costello. Went to see Sean last night at the Viper Room and really, really enjoyed the show. Sean, how are you today?
Doing okay.
Excellent.
Glad to be here.
Man. Excellent. We've just had a chance to go sit in some crummy restaurant in Hollywood and talk a little bit, so we talked a lot.
We talked a lot, actually. Hope we got something left for the interview.
We do have something left for the interview. I noticed last night that you did most of the songs off your new album.
Yeah, it was kind of a showcase thing, so we wanted to do mostly original tunes and the stuff from the new record, but we always play blues every night, so I threw in a couple of blues tunes as well.
Yeah. You've been a blues man for a long time.
I have. I've been playing on stage since I was 12 years old and pretty much started out playing blues, traditional, you know, electric blues, I guess, and played some different styles over the years, but I've been doing it professionally since I was 14.
My goodness. Now, what guitar did you start out with?
My dad bought me some kind of no-name acoustic when I was, for my ninth birthday, I guess, and then I got a Sears catalog electric guitar and amp, you know, like the next year, and you know, I guess the first real guitar I got when I was 12. I was already playing pretty good by then, so I got a decent Les Paul by that point. So,
yeah, I noticed you used a Les Paul last night.
I do. I've used various things. I played a Strat for a while. I used to play the archtop guitars, hollow body guitars, growing up. I went to Performing Arts High School in Atlanta, so I sort of taught myself to play jazz.
Yeah.
So I was more sort of jazz oriented for a while there, but with that gold top Les Paul, I feel like I can get all the sounds I want to get out of it.
So. You sure do too.
You sure get a lot of sounds out of it.
Yeah, I could never play a Les Paul because of the weight. It used to kill me.
They're heavy. I've got an old one. I've got a 53, and it weighs like 7 pounds.
Yeah.
This one's it's light for a new one, but I guess I'm just used to it. It's still pretty heavy compared to a Fender. It's heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. But it sure gets the tone, and you manage to get out of the strange style that you play. you get a lot of different tones out of it.
Well, I try to get. I mean, well, it's all according to what I want to hear. I mean, I can adjust the tone and the volume knobs to get different sounds or pickups, or I use my fingers sometimes, pick sometimes.
So yeah,
it all makes a difference.
Yeah, I noticed that you use a pick and you hold it in a strange way, and you use your fingers a lot.
I mostly use my fingers. I start out with my first two or three fingers, and then if I want to get more attack or if I want to get a quick tremolo thing, I kind of use the pick, you know.
Yeah.
Or for certain rhythmic parts, R&B parts, you know, you kind of need the pick.
Yeah. It's a great style. I enjoy it.
Thanks.
What possessed you to go with the blues, though? You know, blues is a very small niche.
It is a small niche, and I wish I was drawn to something else, but maybe sometimes. But I just remember hearing it, you know, when I was a kid, in movies or television or wherever I'd hear, you know, that sound. Something about that sound of the blues, the feeling that it creates, even as a young kid when I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it in some movie in the background in a bar or something in the movie, and I was like, what is that noise? But I guess, you know, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, all that stuff, the classic rock music is all based on blues, and so I guess I heard some of the blues in there, and then when I found out who they were listening to when I was really young, 9-10 years old, I found Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and B.B. King and all that stuff. So for whatever reason, it just affects me. It's more potent to me.
Yeah.
It's got more real emotion to it. There's not a whole lot of pomp and circumstance.
Absolutely. No, it's definitely very, very emotional music, and it's real.
It's real, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have loved the blues since I was about 6 years old.
Yeah.
First time I heard Jumpin' Jack McVay and Winoni Harris on my dad's jukebox.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I played Winoni Harris, and there was nobody in the joint, and I put a nickel in the Wurlitzer, '78.
Yeah.
You know, and I played Winoni Harris, and my old man came running in there. Who playing that? You know,
yeah,
who's playing that music?
Yeah.
you know, don't ever play that music. That's race music. Play that. You know, I said, well,
that's
I like
the stuff. Yeah,
that's the stuff. I loved it, and I've loved it ever since.
I still remember hearing Wynonie for the first, even when I was 14, 15 years old, I bought some of his records or happened upon it some kind of way. And, I mean, his voice. I would try to sound like that when I was 15. It's just not possible. I'd probably sound more like it now. But, I copied his vocals a lot. I mean, what great stuff. And I grew up, my grandfather was into big band music and Louis Jordan even and people like that. And Wynonie Harris related very much to me. It was sort of the same kind of music as Count Basie with Jimmy Rushing or Joe Williams or... And that stuff that I heard as a kid, but it was a little bit more, you know, potent.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the blues had come a long way by then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back from the original Delta, Southeast Delta blues, mm-hmm. Charlie Patton and those guys, you know.
Yeah.
I'm reading this book called Nothing But the Blues.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I'm trying to remember which one
it's
that is.
It's a big, thick, huge book, weighs about 14 pounds.
It's a big coffee table book?
Yeah, it's written, but it's a paperback.
Okay.
And it's written by a gentleman named Cohn. Mm-hmm. And it reads like a textbook.
Okay.
But he certainly gives, you know, where it began, and it began in 1903. They figured the blues first started in 1903 in Memphis.
Crazy, yeah.
You know, W.C. Handy said that he heard a woman sing, and I think it was Memphis Minnie.
That's
that
possible,
he heard her sing something that was very strange to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asked her about it, she said, well, I don't know, I guess it's kind of the blues.
Yeah.
But
it must have started sometime before that, then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's folk music.
It's folk music. It's just passed down from one person to the next. Yeah.
So you're on tour now.
Uh-huh.
And where have you been?
We're from Atlanta, so we started in Atlanta. We did a pretty decent tour of Florida at the beginning, all the way down to Key West and back up. Then we jumped from Tallahassee to Denver, thanks to our booking agent, and started out here on the West Coast. Did a few dates around Colorado, Pacific Northwest, all the way up to Vancouver, down on the West Coast, and we end in Las Vegas in a couple of days, go home for a little bit.
So. Where are you going to play in Vegas?
We're playing a little Irish pub that my drummer lives in Vegas now, and he found a gig for us because he lives there, which saves us a plane ticket, and we didn't have a gig in Vegas, so we booked it ourselves.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I love your band, man, and your bass player's name is Aaron Trubeck.
Trubeck. Yeah.
I want to get that right.
Close enough. Trubeck.
And Paul Campanella Jr.
That's right.
Yeah. Excellent rhythm section.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
I'm really happy.
And you feel very secure with them.
I feel really good. We're good buddies. You know, we're out here together. We're kind of roughing it a little bit sometimes, but that's the deal. You know, I got off to an early start, and I had a few, you know, better years financially and all that, but we're actually starting to do pretty well. We got the new release, and I guess when I started, I was so young, and I had an older band with me all the time, guys 10, 15, 20 years older than me at least, so now I've got guys about my own age, and we all came up playing blues and R&B, so, you know, I feel like we got something that's a force to be reckoned.
Well, you got a great record. It's called We Can Get Together,
mm-hmm.
and it's on Delta Groove, right?
That's right.
Delta Groove Records. And so, you know, anybody that wants one can certainly go to the bottom of Sean's show page and go to Delta Groove. Do they sell the record off the site there?
Or they sell it off their site. You can buy it directly off of MySpace.com, Sean Costello, MySpace.com.
You got it there?
Yeah, we got it there, too.
Yeah, so if you really, really love the blues, and I know you do, you have to check out Sean Costello's new record. Now, you made three CDs before, or three or four?
Four. Yeah, I made my first CD when I was 16, 17 years old, I guess between junior and senior year in high school, and that came out on Blue Sun Records out of Memphis.
Yeah.
Small label, small distribution, but it was fairly well received, and then I played with Susan Tedeschi for a while with her record, Just Won't Burn, which went gold, so that did pretty well, and then after that, I did two records for Michael Rothschild's label Landslide out of Atlanta, Cutting In and Moaning for Molasses. And I did another record with Artemis Records. It was a self-titled thing. We did it in New York with Steve Jordan and Willie Weeks and Levon Helm and a bunch of cats like that. Sort of a more big budget thing. And then we took it back home to Atlanta for this last one.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good, good record. And I'm proud to play it, I'll tell you that. I'm very picky. There's a lot of stuff that I just won't play. If I don't feel it's honest and sincere, I won't touch it.
I appreciate it. I mean, that's kind of the problem in my view with a lot of the blues stuff is I just don't believe it. I just don't believe them.
Yeah.
You know, or the people calling it blues and it's really some sort of guitar rock thing or something.
It's more hard rock than blues.
Yeah.
Blues is a real specialized art form.
It is, and you can't really put it in parameters. I mean, I can feel it when it's blues and when it's not blues. And even if I play a lot of people, they play a rock and roll song or a soul song, it's still got a blues feeling. But there are some people, even when they play a blues song, it doesn't feel like blues.
No.
So we try to put it all in there in the wheelhouse.
Less is more with the blues,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you got coming up after Las Vegas?
We're going back home for a little bit, and then we've got the CD release party at home in Atlanta, which will be good. We got some TV things and all that stuff lined up at home. And we're just kind of kicking around the Southeast for about a month. And then we're back out, I guess, late April. We're back out on the road, April, May, June. Hopefully we're ramping up for the summer. We got another European tour, or two actually, planned. So we've been doing real well in Europe, so we got that coming up.
Europe's a great place for the blues.
It is. I'm loving it over there.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it, and I've made so many good friends there, and, you know, we're just well-received over there. It's nice.
Yeah. America, though, is starting to pick up on the blues again.
I hope so. It's been a little lull. I mean, it was around late 90s, 2000, it was doing okay, and it's kind of taken a little dip, but the whole music industry, I think, is kind of going through an awkward transition. Yeah.
Some major changes.
Yeah. The downloads and everything like that. So.
Well, Sean, thank you very much for taking the time to sit with me. This is John Reese of BluePower.com, and we've been talking to Mr. Sean Costello, a very, very super fine blues man. I mean, of the real tradition. The man knows his stuff. So if you have the opportunity to see him live, I suggest you do so, because I know you'll enjoy it very, very much.
All right, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
All right, it was fun.
All righty.
Cool.